Has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Let me read that again. Amos 3, 6 through 7 out of the NIV. When a trumpet sounds in a city, do not the people tremble? Question mark. When disaster comes to a city, has not the Lord caused it? Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it's true yesterday, today, and forever. I thank you, Lord, that it enlightens our mind. It renews our spirit. And Father, I thank you that it places us on the course that you have for us. So, Lord, we thank you in advance for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. There is a trumpet that is being sound, but do the people hear it? Do the people tremble at it? See, the sound that is taking place is a clarion call to the people to pay attention. When a trumpet would sound, Jeff, you have yours? When a trumpet would sound, and if you wouldn't understand what the trumpet sound was, then you would think just someone playing out there with a horn. But there's a trumpet that is sound, and there's a certain sound that goes out that sounds an alarm for impeding danger. So as the trumpet is sound, go ahead, sir. The trumpet is sound to let you know that we must get in the city. If you're outside the city walls, you need to get in. If you're within the city walls, you can't see what is coming. Because the watchman that's on the wall doesn't see everything, but only what he can see from a distance. He can see there's something that is stirring. There's something that is coming towards the city. So he sounds the trumpet call. And he sounds the trumpet call because he knows that there may be something coming in the direction of the city that he's called to watch for. When the trumpet is sound, why not people answering that call? Now you're thinking, well, you're going to give me a history on the way they sound a trumpet? No. I'm going to tell you that in today's society right now, a trumpet has been sound. And that trumpet is all of this silliness that is taking place all over this nation, and people are turning on themselves. Because we have an authority issue that lacks respect for authority. And then we have authority that feels that they have to misuse their authority and take advantage of those that are unarmed. So we've seen all kinds of scenarios. Well, you don't understand what it is to be a police officer. You don't understand what it is to be an African-American. You don't understand what it is to be a minority. We don't have to understand. We have to do what God said for us to do in his word. Amen. We are to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. There's the error. We don't love ourselves enough, so we err in how we love others. We only love them when they're doing good for us. You know. I love the police officers when they let me off from speeding. But when the lights turned on, you already cursing like you. And I wasn't even going that fast. You get all mad, but then they come up to you and they're nice to you and they tell you, just going to give you a warning. Oh, God bless you. The Lord bless you. But you were just cursing the same individual when you saw the lights. It's funny how people do that. Just because you got caught doing something you know you weren't supposed to be doing, and then those lights that come on, you know which lights. Everything was fine until you saw those lights and your heart just dropped. And if you're speeding, all of a sudden you start tapping the brakes. Oh, no. Thank you, Jesus, Father God. Let it be the other guy. Let it be the other guy. Let it be the other guy. Get the cop, me. Oh, I wasn't even going that fast. Only 10 miles over the speed limit. God. You know you broke the law and then you're mad because you got caught. Come on now. Am I talking to a real church? A real church. Real talk. You know you sinning. I mean, you know you were speeding. Then you get mad because you got caught. In the very act of adultery. I mean, speeding. That was when one of the topics of in the Bible that they brought a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. Do y'all read the Bible? I question that too. How do you know she was in the very act? We caught her in the very act of adultery. Pendejo. You were there, right? So that means you're not very smart. That's what it means. Okay. Now. You're going to learn a lot here. Mira. Mira. Look. Look. Mira. Mira. Look. Okay. All right. Look. But, you know, it's the thing about double standards. The woman gets thrown before Jesus. Where's the man? Where's the man? All the time. All the time. The men get away with it, but the women, no. The double standard, right? There is a double standard. Now, caught in the very act. Now, here's my question. In my Bible, mine, not inspired by the Holy Spirit, my Bible, but inspired by Martin Antonio Perez. Martin Anthony Perez, me. Okay, now watch this. My inspiration was, can you imagine the woman getting caught by the other three men in the room saying, I know what we can do. Let's really test this Jesus and see what he's going to do. Well, before, like last week, there was no problem. There was no problem last week. There was no problem the day before. Why all of a sudden now is it a problem that we need to be taking this woman before Jesus? Oh, are you starting to see? Because, well, too many young ones. Her occupation. Her occupation required her to be networking a lot. I think that was good, right, Joy? That was good. She was networking with her occupation. Now, her occupation didn't just start that day. They had to have known that her occupation was favorable. So, the network began to work for her, and she began to get clientele. You follow? I'm saying it as clean as possible. But y'all take those images out. Now watch. So, business is going good. Yeah, I got an amen. Hey. Let's, she had advertising dollars. I said my Bible. Y'all probably read your Bible if y'all had my Bible. See? Now watch this. Watch. Now, in every day of her journey and her job, she was to increase. Business. All right. But today was different. Why was it different? Cricket? Like, I don't know. You finish your story because I really want to know where you're going with this. Watch this. The men, the customers, and the business knew Jesus was around. All right now. How come when Jesus steps into a very place in your life, everybody else feels it's their job to get your dirty laundry and bring it before the Lord? He was caught having adultery with some women. How you know? He asked me to record it. See, last week, I prayed about it. And I was like, no, but I went. And about after 2 hours of it, I had enough. See, now watch this. When Jesus is around, you think that everything that you're about to do to get this individual in trouble is about to turn around on you. Come on, woman caught in adultery. Come on.
You want me to do the high heels or no high heels?
No high heels this time. But you didn't bring your wig this time.
No, I didn't.
Okay. So here's what they do. Here's what they do. Okay, who's going to play Jesus? Who wants to play Jesus? Who wants to play Jesus? Okay, come on, Jesus. Andale, Jesus. Andale. Corale, Jesus.
Jesus Maria Rentería.
Okay, there's Jesus. Now watch this. Where was Jesus? Jesus is smiling away. Look at this. Now watch. Now Jesus comes into the city. What does that represent? Jesus is coming into a place. And the people of religious mindsets knew he was there. Now, they're out there doing their networking. Networking. Do the ojos. Y'all wish that we had this on video. Now watch. Okay, I need a couple other men. Come on, John. Come on, Jeff. Come on. Andale. Corale. That means run. Hurry, run. Spanish, bueno, Juan. Okay, now watch. Okay, now, here's the three men that bring the woman. This is the woman.
I said three. There's only two.
Mira, one, two, and three.
Oh, you're the third one. Continue.
She wasn't a very good businesswoman because she couldn't count. But listen. Now watch this. Now, the men catch her in the very act of adultery. Here comes your double standard. Here's what the Bible says that we're to do. If we know that the brothers and sisters are in sin, we need to bring it privately first. They negated the word and did this. They brought the woman. Come on. Watch. And it says that they cast her down to his feet. Now watch. Here's Jesus, still smiling. See? Still smiling. And then he asked them what the problem is.
What the problem is.
Y'all like, that's not what it says in the Bible. We caught this very woman in the act of adultery. Now watch this. Okay, woman, let him go. Watch. She's still down. What does Jesus do? I hope you know. Get there, you go. Kneel down. But no. Now you're gonna start writing in the sand. Watch this. Hold this. Well, what does the law say to do?
Stoner. Stoner.
No, she's not a stoner. You need to cast stones. Some of y'all, man, rocks. You throw rocks, stones at her. I mean, that comes. She's a stoner. Now watch. Now this is what Jesus. Watch it. This is what's so clever. I love this about the God that we serve, Jesus. He has every right because she is a sinner. They said it. But instead of even speaking directly out them about their sin, Jesus begins to start writing in the sand. And then as he's writing in the sand, it says that from the oldest to the youngest, they start walking away. Watch. But as he's writing, he's saying, well, those without sin, you cast the first stone. Do you see that? Those without sin, you cast the first stone. No, he dropped it. This one over here thinks, I don't have no sin. There's the sin, thinking you have no sin. Now watch. Now, as they start departing. Depart. Que te vayas ya. Por favor, ya. Okay. Now as they all depart. Now watch. This is what happens. Jesus now says, where are those that condemn you?
Where are those that condemn you?
I'd like to thank you for the Academy Award. So then she says,
For there are none.
Then he says, then I condemn you.
Then I condemn you not.
Whoa. Then watch. Pick her up. Ah! Jesus, come on. Call the angels. Okay, now look. But listen. Okay, now listen. Watch what Jesus tells the woman, though. Y'all know the story? He says, now go and sin no more. Now, was there any real condemnation there?
No.
Was there any act of judgment really there?
No.
What did he do? He spoke to the spirit of the individual by speaking truth without judgment. Do you understand? By acknowledging the truth of the individual, they were able to see that they weren't well themselves. They had issues. Here's the trumpet that's being sound. Quit blowing everybody's sin out in the open. Quit thinking that you're the one that needs to blow the trumpet on the woman, the man. Because when Jesus is around, it seems like everybody wants to start bringing in all kind of accusations around you. Thank you. Give it up for the woman. Give it up to the woman. Jesus, give it up for Jesus. Give it up for Jesus. All right. No, we're good. Thank you, sir. Here's the trumpet that I feel that the Lord is saying. You've heard me say this many times, is that the sin is what keeps people away from Jesus. But the reality, it is the very sin that draws Jesus to them, not to condemn, but to remove. Then Jesus says to her, go and sin no more. Now, immediately we go to Ten Commandments. Stop it. Ten Commandments is not what he's talking about. He's talking about missing the mark. Taking your eyes off of Jesus. That's what he's talking about. Missing the mark. Now, how many of you know when you walk away from Jesus, it's much easier to fall into temptation? Is it not? You know, the ones that, well, I don't have to go to church today because it's nice out, so I'm going to go to the lake. I'm gonna barbecue. Mm-hmm. Go on fishing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, we make excuses, right? And that's okay. Sometimes you need to take some time off. Sometimes you do. You know how close I was to say, you know what? I'm going to call and have someone preach so that I can enjoy my stay there. But I felt this in my spirit very, very strong for the word that I gave this morning. It was for somebody. Now, when the trumpet is being sound, we need to understand that the areas that the enemy works in are four areas. Here's what I want to share with you. The enemy is found working in those who, one, entertain sin. They entertain sin. Number two, disobedience. Number three, rebellion. And number four, a self-willed nature, meaning selfishness. The enemy is found working in those that have those four qualities. Now, before you start looking around in the room, say, ah, that's so-and-so. Ah, pues, mira, that's sister so-and-so over there. You know, that's pastor. You have to understand that the enemy is trying to get in to cause all kinds of dissension within the body. Now, when he comes in, he's going to do exactly as those men did. He's going to try to get you to be accused of the thing that you're in. And I've seen this happen so many times. It goes back now that they're putting blame on the police officers for the senseless killings. Right? And we only get half of the story. If you were to understand the full story, usually there's some activity that's going on that is not shown, that is not written about. Now, that doesn't mean that you're gonna go and kill the individual because of skin color. First of all, we are all in his image. And until we get that selfish, righteous attitude out of the people and making them realize you are in the image of God, and what you do to another, you're doing unto God. But they feel like they've got to make themselves be better than the other individual based upon their creed and color, what they believe in and what their color is. You know, that's why America has a hard time of getting people to unite. It really does. Now, there are some African-Americans that feel that the white man is holding us back. Okay. We have Hispanics that say, oh, the white man is holding us back. The white man is the one that has everything. We have some white folks that say the same thing. Oh, it's only those that have money, those white people. You're white too. Okay, how about this? Even the Asians say that, oh, it's the white man. We always want to point fingers at somebody else. If we really look at things, those same individuals that are saying that it's the white man, if they would look at themselves and finally see that it's what I do in life that determines where I go. If I always want to stay down and out, then I'm not going to make change. But if I'm always so used to living off of a system and letting the system take care of me, you will remain in a system. Eventually, someone in the family or somebody in the lineage says, I'm not going in that direction. Do you understand? And they make change. And when they make change, the individual that finally came up and said, I don't want to be like uncle. I don't want to be like my dad. I don't want to be like my grandfather. I want something different. So they make change. And that very change is only what's inside saying no more. You see, it's no longer about color. The same opportunity is there for all of us. Now, I'm not going to lie to you and say that there are no biasness out there. Yeah, women do not get paid the same as men. Yeah, that's just the truth. Statistics shows that. Now, yeah, how many of y'all know that show? This back in the day, I Love Lucy. Y'all know that? I Love Lucy? Huh? Y'all know I Love Lucy, right? Who was she married to? Ricky Ricardo. A Cuban refugee. Had a TV show. Married to a white woman. Now, became very wealthy, very successful, had influence. Amen? But he had no one that goes before him to help him understand when prosperity comes and how to hold it. Okay, we had interracial couples on TV. All right, back then. Now, we fast forward so many years, and now we see that people still have a problem with interracial couples. I don't understand that. If I look at you, I look at Jackie, I look at Tijana, I look at Sylvia, I see the same individual. Because skin color is nothing more than just something so that we're not bored looking at everybody looking the same. I allow my hair to get salt and pepper until next week. So that there can be some differences. But we take the differences and make it something that's offensive. I don't like the way he's doing it. He did it to the side this time. Usually he has it kind of like messed up, and now I don't like it that way. He's not anointed no more. Okay, and watch this. We kind of make our own opinions based on how people look. And then we hold that and we put that around them. But in reality, what you're doing is just like those men did with the woman, is you're putting that all on you. You're saying you're against segregation and you're against having all kinds of biasness, but you're the one that's doing it yourself as well. How do we do it? By pointing out other people's sin. That's exactly what you're doing. So if you have a tendency to do that, stop. Stop. Don't do it. I was Mihai, you know, you shouldn't be. I mean, you know, my beloved, don't. How about you show them how to live? How about you make the change so they have somebody to see how to live like? But if the only ones that they see and the only influence they have is mom and dad or maybe auntie or uncle or maybe even grandma, then if they begin to act a certain way, you might want to look in the mirror and see, how am I acting or reacting to certain things? Right? Because they're getting it from somewhere. Now, not all the time. Not all the time, because the YouTube is teaching a lot of you children something. Mm-hmm. If you would really look closer to it, what you search the most, and I'm not talking about just because they became famous, you're going to become famous. You're going to become more and more like them, and not necessarily as popular at them as them, but you're going to become just like them in developing a complex, thinking, I've got to be accepted. I've got to have so many people following me. I've got to have so many people like me. I've got to have so many people that understand about me. You're living a lie. God made you special for you so that you don't have all of this stuff that society is putting out there on how you're supposed to live. Now, we can all say, yeah, that's true. Yeah, or, you know, the kids are always on the internet and they're always on, you know, social media. It's funny how I see a lot of adults, too, on social media. How many times has your son or daughter come into the living room and seen you with your Bible? Or seen you praying? Or worship? You need to develop something that they can see. That it's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that you've chosen. So we can make change. We're sounding the trumpet. We sound the trumpet for a reason. God wants us to take back what has been taken from us. We need to take back our children. We need to take back the children from the influences in their life. And those influences are these pop stars that think that they're something. The Floyd Money Mayweathers. Because they think they're going to be able to be just like a multimillionaire immediately. Far and few between. I'm not saying that God can't bless you. But I'm going to tell you something. It's your character that means more to God than anything else. Because if he cared whether or not you had money, he would regard money. He doesn't regard it. He requires sacrifice of you for it. Do you understand? Because he's saying wherever your heart is, so is your treasure. So if you have a hard time giving money to someone that's in need, have a hard time giving money to the church, then what he's saying is your money is your treasure. Well, sure, you don't understand. I got to pay a bill and this and that. I understand that. Been there, done that. make all kinds of arrangements just to pay a bill. But let's look back and see how many bills you created. And God is just requiring just 10%. That's it. And for all you scholars that say, well, that's the Old Testament teaching. No, it's not. Jesus said, you robbed me. And then he said, oh, but how do we rob you? And Jesus says, you robbed me with your tithes and your offering. Who said it? Jesus. Oh, Old Testament, please. It's new. What he's saying, you're robbing your own blessing when you don't give your tithes and your offering. Right? So we see children today, or this generation, period, and that goes for all ages, that they feel that if they keep their money and they don't give their money, they're going to be able to save money. You don't think the enemy knows that? What is the adage when, you know, talking about the businesswoman? You got to spend money to make money. We'll use that in a sense for, you know, society, for businesses, but we won't use that in the kingdom. You got to give money to get money. Watch this. The Bible says that he gives seed to what? The sower. It's biblical. But we've seen this generation lied to that everything out there with all the wealth that's out there, all the notoriety, everything that these entertainers are doing is what these young kids need to do to get money. It takes a wisdom, someone that has wisdom to say, how about you get a job, work hard, do the best that you can do in everything that you do, respect your elders and respect authority. You know, the yes, sir, no, sir, that hasn't faded away. That's still respectful. Okay? Opening the door for a lady. You know, these kids nowadays, they just open the door and walk through for themselves and a whole group of people coming. Open the door. Show respect. So when you start instilling these values, then you're helping them become a better person. You understand that? You see that? But what are you watching on MTV used to show videos. I don't know if they just show them anymore, but I guess now it's all kinds of reality shows. Reality, that's scripted reality. Yeah, scripted. To cause you to watch it, it's no longer reality. It's scripted. Now you're just watching the TV program now. But they call it reality. Now, we have to be the reality in society now. We have to show them. We have to teach them not to be selfish, not to be only about them, but to be caring about others. Selfishness is a spirit that attaches to keep you always focusing on self. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus focused on everybody. You know that, right? It wasn't about him. It was about everybody. Have you ever run across somebody that's selfish? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Run across them, right? You know it, too. Yeah. And somehow you get around and like, that's the last donut. And I know that individual going to take that donut and eat it right in front of me. And I know I wanted that donut. And then, man, that donut was good. It was, man, it had so much glaze on it. Do I have any right here in my mouth? You know it's the very last one. And, you know, you've already had three. And someone said, oh, I didn't get one. I was with the children outside. And then, oh, really? Oh, that's a shame because these were good. And then eat it. Selfishness. He said, oh, but I don't eat all the donuts. I don't even eat donuts. Can be other ways. Can be all kinds of ways. You don't want any of those four traits on you. You don't want selfishness, rebellion, disobedience. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. You don't want that on you. You don't. You don't want to have a sin nature also, where everything you desire is what you're after, even though it may not be God's desire for you. Be careful. Amen? Amen. How many of you want to get liberated from that? Yeah. Some of you are like, oh, from what? What? Which one? Because if I raise my hand, you're going to say I'm selfish. Which one? Which one? No, don't wish. Do you want it? All right, stand on your feet if you would, please, as we close.